Well, we're here with Alyssa Waymuller today. And Alyssa and I have worked on a number of projects together, companies that I've represented and that I've asked Alyssa to help with, helping those companies think through the science of space, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of our clients will see other spaces that they think are really cool and they say, I want this. But actually, just because the space is cool doesn't mean it's going to work for that company.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that we're kind of in this post-COVID world here after, you know, May 15th, you and I had this conversation around a specific client, which is Payit. Mm-hmm. We've spent the last 120 days designing right. a space. And my question to you was, are we designing something that's going to be obsolete
right.
When we go back to work next month? So, yeah. And you've, over the past 5 weeks, have really been digging in on how things might change. So I think the key word is might change.
Right.
None of us really know what the world's going to look like post-COVID. But I think that would be a great place to start.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I think nobody knows exactly how this is going to go because it's completely unprecedented. But I think that you're right, too, that this, well, I say first that I think it's, this is somewhat of a luxury to be talking about this in the sense that there's a lot of people whose lives from a where they work standpoint have been completely disrupted. And so to even be talking about what's the office going to look like when we go back, we're lucky to be thinking about that and thinking about what's this going to feel like and look like. But it's a really important topic, and I do find it really interesting because I've always been fascinated by the way people work and how much the space impacts what they do. And so this is certainly going to be a huge factor in that, and I think I don't think we're ever going to go back just to what was normal before, and I don't think it's going to be, you know, this really quick flip of a switch. I think it's going to be a gradual transition to get back into the office. But I think that business owners and, you know, facilities, people that are really thinking about this are going to be really conscious of creating a space that people feel safe and comfortable to come back into because, you know, this isn't, it is completely unprecedented, and you want your employees to feel like they are still really comfortable and welcome and happy when they're in their workspace.
And most of the tech firms that you and I have, mm-hmm. those projects that have been for tech firms, we know that they are dense.
Yep.
You know, 10 years ago, a typical square foot per person was somewhere around 200 square feet today.
It's not even, yeah, more, yeah.
Today, or 250,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And today can be as much as 145 square feet per person. And there is some talk about
it's that density.
That
mm-hmm.
density, right?
Yeah.
And is that density healthy? And that conversation was being had several years ago prior to
right.
what we're going through right now. Mm-hmm. Are tenants talking about re-dense, or not, I guess I should say, getting less dense.
Right. I think that's going to be one of the most interesting pieces of this, that I think you're right. Somebody said the other day, and I love this line, we left the world in a very dense place. Like that we have worked so hard to maximize square footage with those amenities that people have wanted to see, these great shared spaces, and whether it's for kind of collaboration or gathering, that we've wanted to maximize those, and so we've minimized the individual square foot. And so even if your overall square footage didn't change, your square foot per person may have shifted as far as their actual workspace. But oftentimes that meant your workstation got dense, you became closer and closer to the people around you. And so I think that we are going to see people want to have a little bit more breathing room around their personal space. But I think that that will look like different things for different companies. I think we'll have organizations that are really going to learn something from this work from home sort of experiment we've all gone through of, hey, what do I want my office to be moving forward? And do I want, you know, are we still going to be in the office as much as we were before? I think that's going to be a factor. But then we might look at, you know, do we keep that smaller square footprint per person, but maybe spread it out a little bit more, utilize some of that circulation space to get some more generous circulation around everyone? Also looking at the shared spaces, because a lot of what we had said was, you know, you might have a smaller footprint right here, but you've got the ability to pick up and go work in other places around the office. And there will be a lot of people, rightfully so, worried about picking up and going and working in another place because that's now shared. And who else sat here? Who else touched
right.
this? And so I think it's going to be hand in hand with the cleaning practices of those organizations so you feel comfortable working in those shared spaces. But that our individual space, we might look for a little bit more breathing room. So I think the short answer is I think there will be groups that are going to look at this as, what do I need my office to be moving forward? And that might be less space, because I might say, you know what, everybody's doing an awesome job working from home. And what I really need the space to be is where we all come together in those shared areas. And that's less square footage than I had before. I think we'll have other groups that said, I want to bring people back into the office full time, you know, all the time. And I do want them to have a little more real estate. So that might mean we've got to take additional square footage to spread out more than we have in the past. So I think it's really going to be how organizations have reacted to what worked well in working from home and what didn't, and how is that going to impact what we do.
Yeah, I think, you know, it has been this huge experience, or huge experiment, yeah, right, with really understanding what a mobile workforce is. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily work from home, it's being mobile, right?
Right, right.
And everybody's learned the technology, yeah, of how I can operate not being at my desk. And in some cases, it's more enjoyable, right? Mm-hmm. Because you get to, you know, organize your day.
Yeah.
And so we've, for most of my career, have talked about people working from home and maybe at some point we're not going to need the office, or the office gets smaller. But what I'm hearing from my clients is, yes, we transitioned to home, we're still productive, but I still need an office, and right, I still want my people in the office, because that's, that face-to-face is where collaboration really takes, mm-hmm, place. And so what are you hearing on the work-from-home mobile workforce? Mm-hmm. You know, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I think that line between what was our sort of technological office, or our technology-based office, and our physical office has really been dissolved, that now those really have to work hand in hand more than they ever had in the past. I think we've been able to recreate so much of what we need to do at home through Zoom, through all the video calls. I mean, that I think we've really rapidly adapted to how we can do our jobs there. But I think the things that are really, really hard to recreate in that way, just what you said, you know, gathering people together, the collaboration, that face-to-face interaction, you know, seeing people's response and reactions when you're presenting something. I think there is going to be an element that we just can't quite recreate, yeah, remotely,
right,
and that is going to be critical to still have a space to come to. And so I think that I think we're going to learn a lot of what we're able to do away. You know, I wonder if, as just a society, that what we've always done as meetings is going to change. You know, for so long we've joked, could this meeting have been a phone call or an email? Well, now you proved it could have been a phone,
right,
call or an email. So are we going to do a better job of really filtering what do we need to have in person and what could we do remotely? Because I think there are a lot of people, you know, we've always said in workplace, one size fits all doesn't work. You know, people have different personalities. They've got different backgrounds. They want to work in different ways. And this, I think, even exaggerates that there's going to be people that are craving getting back into an office. I want my set place where I go and I do these things. And then there's going to be other employees that are actually thriving in this environment,
right,
and have found a really good routine and are maybe even more efficient. And so I think we've got to help people provide a space that lets both of those do what they need to do and doesn't somehow almost divide your office, that now you've got the at-home,
right,
group and the people that come in. How do you still create a space that they can all come together?
I do think, you know, one thing I have noticed with meetings on Zoom, mm-hmm, or whatever platform you're using are more efficient.
Yep.
They're timed, so you get your work done within a specified period of time,
mm-hmm,
and you're prepared, because you're right on somebody's,
right,
screen.
Right.
So the agendas are much more tight. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's on that agenda is prepared, and so these meetings I'm finding far more productive than the scheduled meeting that's every Monday that happens, you know, every week, 52 days, 52 weeks out of the year.
Sure.
So I'd like to go to the more philosophical, which is sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's been something, yeah, that you've been evangelizing for a long time.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, around that, the wellness in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So those two things are kind of have been way down on the list for tenants. They've been very high on your list.
Mm-hmm.
Are people gonna pay more attention to those things and what you're saying moving forward? and what does it mean for people, you know, in a really tangible way?
Yeah, I think so. Looking at them two different ways, for sustainability, I do think that this has been a really interesting time to see how quickly we can make an impact with just our changes in behavior. You see all of the data and that imaging that's coming out to show the reduction in pollution and the improved air quality because we're not driving, we're not commuting, we're traveling so much less. And I think to see even within a couple of weeks how much that's changed, we can't ignore that to go back to exactly the way we were doing it before has a negative impact on the environment. And we've shown we can do it with a reduced impact on the environment.
Right.
And so I do think that we'll see companies almost embracing, you know, that we're going to do more remote meetings. We're going to let people work from home more for a lot of reasons with wellness, that we'll talk about in a minute, and productivity, but also even as a sustainable measure that, you know, by us not having you come in the office 2 or 3 days a week, we're helping the environment. And I think that's something as a company we can embrace. The other thing that I think to keep in mind with sustainability is that anything I think that we suggest to our clients that they might want to rethink about or look at moving forward as people come back to work, you don't need to start from scratch. You know, don't throw out your furniture. Don't rip up your carpet. Don't make expensive changes to the space to react to this because that's not sustainable. It's not smart from a business standpoint, but certainly not sustainable. And so I think that there's ways that we can look at using what you've got, adapting and being flexible with what you have so that you are responding, you're making people feel safe and comfortable, but you're also not creating a lot of waste and feeling the need to, again, throw out what you have and start again just to respond to this.
Right. Is there anything else were there any additional questions that you thought of from our quick meeting yesterday?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the wellness.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a bit. So we've talked about wellness for the last couple of years, and you mentioned that. I mean, that.
And what does that really mean? What does wellness mean in the workplace?
Absolutely.
Like, how do you design that in, and what what do employers need to be thinking about in terms of creating wellness within the marketplace within the office space?
Yeah. To me, that wellness as an initiative within the office has meant for a long time, I think the office is a place you came and you felt worn down when you left. You felt like this was taking something out of you to come here. And so if we can create workspaces where you feel better leaving, and up to this point, that's been a conversation more around healthy food options, access to daylight, you know, good air filtration and good air quality, you know, having access to outdoors, walkability, fitness and movement. But I do think that we're going to see that shift to, you know, like the WELL Building Institute found a way to measure a lot of those wellness initiatives. And I think we're going to see organizations come out with ways to measure how we're responding to this. And so I think it's cleaning practices, it's the availability of personal protection, you know, hand sanitizer, masks, things like that throughout your office. Touch, you know, getting touch-free adaptations to the office so that you really don't feel like you're grabbing doorknobs and elevators and everything else in and out of your way to a building. So I think we're going to look at ways to measure that so that you're able to tell your employees, hey, we have a X certified space. We've taken these measures to make this a really safe space.
Do you think they could do something like LEED certified, wellness certified, where you do have touchless fixtures and you have put these standards and practices in place that make your building
healthier? I think we will. You know, we've had the WELL Building Institute and the WELL certification that came out a couple of years ago. It was trying to do that, you know, to look at how you measure these wellness things. And I think we'll see them take that to the next layer of this piece of wellness. How do I make a space that I feel like I'm touching clean surfaces when I need to touch something, and that the air is cleaner, you know, that we're taking measures that we might not have looked at in the past to make sure that we are creating these really safe, healthy spaces.
I think that goes as far as the mechanical systems, our heating and ventilation
systems,
how they're designed, what the fresh air, you know, typically this time of year, it's 100% fresh air coming into a building.
Right.
But as it gets hotter or colder, you're pulling in less fresh air.
Yeah.
And of course, there are standards that require that you not exceed a certain level of recirculation of air. Do you think there'll be any relook at what those standards are for air quality?
I think so. I think that that's something that Even, you know, as someone coming into an office, I might have known that, hey, because I had daylight or I had healthy food, this feels healthier. I think we're going to have employees become better educated on, hey, what am I breathing in while I'm here? And so I think that we're going to see employers and building owners start to look at those systems and seeing how can you make them really efficient? How can you make them in a way that they're bringing in a lot of that outside air, that they're filtering air if needed? But I do think we're going to see that become a lot a more important conversation in everything that we're doing. I think, in general, I think we will see society just becoming more conscious of our health and more proactive in our health, because here you've seen everybody react so quickly with masks and hand sanitizers, everything that we're doing to protect ourselves and to be more conscious of, you know, do I have symptoms? You know, I think you're being more aware of it. And so I think that that's going to translate to people being more conscious of what's the space doing around me, and how does that impact me? And then we're going to have then building owners and business owners respond with making sure that they're taking every measure they can to make it a really safe, comfortable space.
In the end, it really does become a marketing opportunity for the employer, right? Because you're going to retain your great employees, you're going to recruit better because you have a healthier workplace, and then for building owners, it's going to be a marketing opportunity because employers are going to look for buildings that they can respond to that. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think one of the most important things right now that both building owners and business owners could do is just talking to their employees, because I think every company and the kind of work we do and the people that you have worked there are going to have different concerns and different ways that they've responded, the experiences they've had working from different places. And so I think as much as you can talk to them about what's going to make you feel comfortable coming back into this space, what do I need to do to make this a successful transition back? And I think that that's going to become really critical, is having that conversation and then addressing the change management piece of it too, that this is going to be, as abrupt as the change was going this way, this one's going to be a lot more transitional. And so how do companies help their people feel like they're not missing out on what they're doing, you know, that their jobs aren't changing as they're trying to come back in and get back in step with what they were, with what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. I think that covers it.
I think so. I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I was going to ask what's Area doing? What are you guys talking about with your office?
You know, we designed it really to provide people with their own heads down space, and then most of the space is collaboration space. Yeah. So we really, we were not thinking about health and wellness. We were thinking about creating a great environment that people want to come to work every day. So none of the offices are on glass. So everybody shares just this huge amount of light that the space absorbs in the morning when we come in. There's lots of collaboration space. And then there are places that, you know, people can be, that they have their own space that they control. So I think we're designed perfectly for the post-COVID world of because you've got this great light, you've got separation, and then we've leased enough space that we're not crowded in.
Sure, so, you can spread out a little bit. Yeah. We've been having interesting conversations at Helix every Friday afternoon. We've been doing kind of a design discussion around how do you think our markets are going to change? So how do we think workplace is going to change, higher education? How are we going to create multifamily spaces differently? And we've also then are talking about our homes, you know, the home workspace. What's been successful? What would you change, you know, in your home office or home workspace? And then we're going to talk about Helix's space too, just because this is a chance to rethink. You know, you've seen what it looks like to work without a physical space. So what do you want to add back in? Like, what do we want the office to be for our group? And I think that's a really interesting question. I hope that's something that people are asking themselves is, you know, what did I not miss? And what did I really miss? Because those are going to be the critical parts that you want to make sure
and
you maintain.
I think also just the different technologies that are going to come out of this. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about autonomous cars for the last decade. We've been talking about automation, robotics. And, you know, with the collision, all these different types of technologies that have been running down their own path, like artificial intelligence and robotics and autonomous cars, you know, with this touchless society that we're going to, I think it's going to get sped up. And
I do too.
I think we're going to see all that impact within the office, within, you know, the warehouse, mm-hmm. within multifamily. Multifamily is more critical than office space because you have so many different people that are entering into a space, the same space. So I think multifamily is going to really pay attention to a lot of the things that you've been talking about.
I mean, I think we've been talking for a while now about, you know, smaller units, micro units, and smaller square footage. Well, I don't know if anybody who probably rented a space like that anticipated that they'd be in that space for weeks on end. And so I do think you're absolutely right that those are going to be rethought. We're providing all these great amenities as part of the multifamily, you know, these complexes or these buildings, but they're not able to use those right now because it's that shared space. So I think that's going to be, I do think we're going to see shifts in every industry, you know, higher ed as well.
Well, thank you. This has been, go ahead.
Got a micro macro question for you guys, because actually we work with a lot of architects here in commercial real estate firms, and especially being a small business to hopefully medium-sized business one day, a lot of macro conversations there, which is really good from my perspective as a potential tenant. What are short-term
fixes
versus, we're talking very broad, but like, okay, what could be done in a year from an architecture firm to change anything that's already in place versus how design when you have an empty
Starting from scratch,
the difference of the two. That's just a curiosity from my perspective.
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah.
Well, you're already seeing it in the grocery store, right, where they've put up plexiglass panels. Mm-hmm. It may mean that, you know, on the open desking, it may mean that little sound panel might go up a few more inches, right? That's a simple solution that's not where you don't have to throw out the furniture.
Sure.
All the things that you were talking about. And I think the selection of materials within your design, the stuff that you can actually clean and sanitize, talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely.
Because that sounds like a small thing, but...
Yeah, I think there's two different scales to this, because you're right that for the people that already have a space that don't want to start from scratch, which they shouldn't start from scratch, I think we're going to see a lot of really quick innovations. You know, already this week we are getting emails of door hardware modifications, you know, piece that attaches to your door. So a typical doorknob, you're able to open with your elbow instead of your hands. And I think we're going to see really quick things that are relatively inexpensive come out in ways that you can modify the space without taking apart your door, putting in all new door hardware, you know, things that you'll be able to retrofit in. I think we're going to see a lot of that sort of small scale, really quick, fast innovation on how to respond to this. I think that just that, you know, not understanding the personal protection, how we integrate without just big Purell dispensers every 6 feet, but how do we do that in a way that still feels like it's well-designed, it's thoughtful, that you've got places for masks, for hand sanitizer, you know, hand washing, being thoughtful on how you come and go from a space, that you've got a clean path that I think doesn't, again, have to mean you need to restart things. It almost just means you need somebody to help walk you through that path of travel and where are the points that are an issue and what do you need to address. So I think there's a lot of things you can do right now in an office that, and I do think too, what the office looks like in September of some of these quick reactions that we really need to put in place quickly, you know, by next March, it's going to look different. And I don't think it will have completely relaxed or changed, but I don't think anybody should take on really big, expensive, you know, changes right now because we don't know how this is going to continue to change and evolve. But, you know, your question about materials is really interesting because we've been talking about that in our office, that you want materials moving forward that are extraordinarily cleanable, that we're going to maybe even use cleaning products that we hadn't in the past. And so the materials we specify need to hold up to those.
And the wood surfaces,
yeah. I mean, everything that you and touch, you want to be able to clean down really thoroughly. So how do we balance that, getting those really cleanable surfaces, and not have everything start to feel like it's healthcare, you know, that it's designed to that extent, that it's really meant to be that extreme? And so I think designers love a good challenge like that, that you've got to make a space that still feels really beautiful and light and welcoming, but it has all of those things to it that it needs to be really cleanable. And I think if you're going to leave your home now, you've got to, you know, you're the first time you leave your house to go to a restaurant, you're not going to go have a mediocre meal. Like, you want to go to that place that you love. You love the inside of it. You love the service there. You know, you love, and I think our offices should be the same way, that you don't want to go to a mediocre space. You want to go to a space that is still beautiful and feels good. You know it's clean and you know it's safe. But it also should still bring you joy and should be a place you really like to be.
That's a great way to finish.
Good.
Thank you.
You bet. You bet. Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Great. Good conversation.
Yeah.
Good?
Perfect.
Cool. Good awesome.
Job.